SBS Filipino.
Kasama natin ngayong umaga si Kriston Capistrano, isang teacher, artist with some degree in philosophy. What a lot.
Yes. Hello. Hello, everyone. But...
yes. You were born in the Philippines, but you grew up here because you moved when you were only 8?
Yes. Yes.
So, nakakaintindi ng Tagalog, but mahirap magsalita.
Kaya pa po. Yeah, kaya pa.
We're here at Liverpool Art
Studio.
Studio?
Yeah.
Because you got a residency here.
Yes.
Yes, but let's go back.
Okay.
How did Kriston started with art?
I've always loved drawing, even when I was a kid. I remember my grandma was a butcher in Philippines, and we would go to the farms, like to the bulkhead and stuff, and she would pick up the cows. And on my way there, this was when I was like 3 years old, I would be drawing the farm fields, and my uncle would teach me how to draw the cows or the Bahay Kubo and, you know, the mountains. So even when I was a kid, I've always loved to draw. Mm. Yeah, that's where it started.
Yes, you're an emerging artist working on contemporary drawing and portraits.
Yes.
I can see your drawings. They're big. And mostly faces.
Yes.
Why is that?
I think that part of what I love to do in art is to try to connect with other people, try to build sort of human connections. And I think the human face is a powerful site or a powerful place to build, to communicate. It's a language that speaks across, you know, how many languages? All languages, yeah.
Yep. Last year,
yep.
You got a few awards.
Yes.
That is when you only came back from a 5-year hibernation.
Yeah, yeah.
Hibernation from art.
Yeah, yeah, yes, yes.
What did you do with the 5 years that you left art?
Oh gosh, I did a lot of things. Before I left, I won a big art prize, the Black Swan Art Portraiture Prize. So that was $35,000.
Yeah.
And a collector bought my work for...
Yeah. Get out of the country.
Yeah, yeah. I moved. I traveled. I volunteered with helping our homeless shelters in New York, and at one point in Honduras and Nicaragua as well. I lived in New York for 2 years. I've got relatives there.
Wow. Lucky boy.
Oh, I was so lucky. Studied a bit of philosophy, and then I came back to work again, just in teaching, and then just traveled a bit more. Yeah.
You mentioned teaching. You had a fine arts degree, and then your honors year last year, and then you had a degree in education, both for the secondary and elementary.
Yeah. Back in the days, I was lucky. You just have to do 1 year diploma, and then you can in high school education, then you could teach wherever.
Lucky.
Yeah, very lucky. Yeah.
But yeah. And then last year, as we have mentioned, you came back doing arts full time.
Yes, full time. So I worked part-time as a teacher to pay for the rent and everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, I tried to pursue full-time study and full-time art, which is two different things.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. But for example, the prize that won Blacktown, I was finishing that 1 week before my thesis and final project was due. So everybody was stressing about their thesis. And I was like, no, for me, this is about the career. It's less about the marks. I don't care about the marks.
Well, everyone is stressing you're doing arts.
Yes, basically. Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah, it paid off in the long run. Yeah. So it was good. Yeah.
And you were last year's winner of the South Australia Living Arts Festival, and you did the art called The Philosopher. Tell us about it.
Okay. So that portrait was of Emmanuel Levinas. He's a French Jewish philosopher. He survived the Holocaust, actually. So very, very important sort of writer. And I was very much influenced by his writing, especially his writing about the human face as a very sort of powerful side of, how do I say this in a simple way? Basically, it's through the human face, he would say, that we get to know ourselves and get to know the other person. Basically, the human face is a side of humanity.
It's like the face tells us a lot of things about people and humans.
Yes, basically. And it's writing about the gaze. For me, like the eyes are really important in my portraiture practice. So he really speaks about that. Gazing inwards, gazing outwards, allowing other people to look into you. And yeah, things like that.
Mm.
Yeah, and also because before I drew him, I spent, I think, 2-3 weeks looking for a portrait subject and I couldn't find anyone. So I thought, why don't I just draw the person I'm reading about? And I found his portrait online and it went from there.
And you won.
Yes. Yes.
Krisson, you've been doing art since you were little, but not professionally, but
of
you
course,
started
yeah.
you started early at a young age.
Yeah.
But what do you intend to share to your audience or your viewers showing these large portraits of faces? Yeah. Like, what do you want to impart to them?
For me, I'm like basically trying to capture the importance of humanity. Like, I keep going back to that theme. Today we're inundated with so many faces on Facebook, on Instagram, on TV, and we just keep swiping it, and there's a culture of just dismissing the other person. Whereas Levinas, the philosopher, would say, no, look at the other person in the face and really look at them as a person, as a human being. And so I make really large portraits that you can't swipe away. You can't sort of just close it and dismiss it. But this is a real human person with a dignity that really deserves portrayal. There's a beauty in that human person, which is hard because I think I can look at any person out here and draw them and it would be just as beautiful, but it's a time. It's a time.
And it's large.
Yeah, and it's large for sure. And also because there's a lot of good artists here in Sydney and around the world, and you got to make an impact somehow. So in any competition, if you have a large piece of drawing, it draws that immediate presence or impact that I try to sort of convey. And not just in a dramatic way. A lot of contemporary art is all about just showing up, like, you know, it's just fireworks and bells and whistles. Yeah, colours or scandal or what will make people get angry, so that draws attention. But so in a sense, I want to draw attention too, but to something a bit more sort of subtle or dignified. Or
person.
Yeah, yeah, and a human person, yeah.
I've seen you put few of your drawings in Blacktown and in front of, was it David Jones?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's so, that?
Okay, so at one point when I was studying in the city, there was a homeless guy who was sitting out there for ages. And at one point, I just decided to sit down with him. I bought him some lunch and had a conversation. And then the next time I came back to draw him, I asked his permission. And he had an amazing, tragic story. And I thought, you know, this person's story really needs to be told. And then I went to the studio and finished the drawing, which took ages. By the time I finished it, I went back. I wanted to show him, but he wasn't there anymore. And a lot of homeless people just come and go. Some of them die, some of them. So as a sort of commemoration, I stuck back the drawing that I finished back to where he used to sit. And that was a big realization for me that what I try to do in my portraits is try to capture the presence of the person who's no longer there, which is somewhat impossible, but I guess that's sort of my job as a portrait artist. How do you draw the invisible presence? Yeah, the invisible presence. How do you make that present in a work? Mm. Yeah, yeah.
So you haven't seen that man
after
that?
No, not at all.
Goosebumps.
Yeah, I could. Yeah, but he was there all the time. He was there all the time. Yeah.
Mm. And you're working on a child, a face of a child. Is that a special request or something?
So I'm entering the Blake Prize coming up. I don't know. Fingers crossed. I get accepted as a finalist. It's got an emphasis on religious or spiritual sort of themes. So this, I met a family in Mount Druitt who are refugees from Iraq. So they're survivors of ISIS, basically. So I wanted to draw the child and the dad who's carrying the child. I don't know if you can see it there, but his leg got blown off by a bomb. They've got a very powerful story. But just to show the human face of these people that you hear about in the news, and that they're really living amongst us now here in Australia. They've moved here and want to start a new life.
It's very powerful, as you mentioned, because it's a child. Like, everyone can, like, oh, look at him. And then the story behind him is also vital in your drawing.
Yeah. And also because he's going to grow up here in Australia, so there's a sense of new hope. But also because it does have a religious theme. I think any images of a child points to, like, the infant Jesus, like to the Santo Niño kind of thing. So there's a lot of images of Christ in that sort of posture in Renaissance paintings. So I'm sort of gesturing towards that too. Yeah.
So that's what we can look forward. But let's also talk about you winning the Blacktown Arts Prize.
Yeah.
That was, it's recent, isn't it?
Yeah, so that was in this, December sometime.
Tell us about your work.
Okay, so that was Breath. My friend posted a video of her baby on Instagram. It's a really good video. The baby, Ellie, was basically trying to fight off sleep. So she was like getting really grumpy and sunget kind of face.
Yeah.
But then the sleepiness just kept overcame her. And then she started to fall asleep. And then she yawned and realized that she was awake. And then, but then she was going back to sleep again. So in this 7-second video, she had that realization with a smile at the end, but also this fighting sort of like struggle to stay awake. And I found that really poignant and cute. Like, that's like a, almost like a metaphor for us. Like, we're always trying to stay awake. Yeah, fight something to stay awake, to stay present. And yeah, it was a yawn that I was drawing, but then I wanted to capture, which is impossible, a sense of the breath of life or that breath of a newborn, you know? Yeah.
It was also the People's Choice Award.
Yes, it was. Oh gosh, I was lucky. I didn't really work much during the holiday. I didn't work at all on the holiday, so that prize came in handy.
So it's like your 5 years of hibernation paved off?
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
After you came back.
Yeah. I'm really blessed in that regard. But I've worked hard. It wasn't just all lucky. Like, I wasn't partying every night like some of my classmates. I worked and then I stayed up many nights in the studio.
Yeah. Let's talk about that, because I know that they say there isn't really money in doing arts, which is in some way true.
For sure.
Yes, because you spend lots of money with your resources, like your canvas, your paints and everything.
Yeah.
But how do you continue on doing art?
So for me, I guess number one is the desire, the willpower to keep going. You know, if I was brave enough, I would quit my job and just live off this. And like, I think if you burn the boat, you'll succeed. That's what all the successful artists say. But I'm still being prudent and I'm still have my day job. So as a casual teacher, that helps pay for things that I need.
Yeah.
But I've got commissions now and I'm making money out of my art now. Not full-time yet, but it's going to get there.
You're going to get there.
Yeah, for sure.
A teacher, educator, artist, almost finished a whole master's in philosophy. What else do you want to do?
No, this is all what I want to do. I want to just keep making work. I want to get to a point where I can live off my art without teaching. I want to win more prizes. I want to have more exhibitions, not just in Australia. I'd love to leave Sydney and, you know, I've got a mole on my foot, and you know Filipinos say, oh, my auntie used to say, like, you wouldn't want to stay put. And that's right. I've got itchy feet.
Yes.
Yeah.
And talking about you want to travel and get out of Sydney for a while, your works had been part or an exhibition in Hong Kong?
Yeah, so as part of my travels, like, my university sent me and a few other designers and artists on this immersion trip through China and Hong Kong and things like that. And that was a collaborative piece that I put in there along with some other artists. That was very interesting. It's something I've never done before. It's wearable technology.
Yeah. Looking forward, you have mentioned you're going to join the Blake Prize, which is due in?
Friday midnight.
Wow.
So last night I was here till 1:30. Tonight I'm probably going to stay till like 2 again. So no sleep for the next couple of days.
Thank you for having us.
No, this is a pleasure. It's great. I love SBS.
Yes, and also you've been, as we have mentioned, you've got a residency with the Liverpool Arts Studio?
Yeah.
Which started in January until when?
It's going to, tentatively till March, April, but basically they're going to keep allowing us to be here until the building gets demolished. So as of now, we don't know when it will be.
So come and see your works.
Yeah. Come by. Come visit.
Yes. And you're also doing the Maxwell Brook Art Prize?
Yes. Yes, in March. So fingers crossed.
What are you doing for that one?
So I did a self-portrait from my honours project. So that's what I submitted.
Is it hard to do a self-portrait?
That was very hard. It doesn't even look like me. It looks like a good drawing. It doesn't look like me. But it's a good drawing. Yeah, I'm very happy about that. There's 18 other finalists, so one out of 19 or so. Yeah, thank you.
How much does art mean to Kristan Capistrano?
I wouldn't say it's everything, because I can live without it, but it's definitely what's giving me passion at the moment, and purpose and drive and a reason to keep going.
I have to ask this. In the totality of your arts, have you ever bring out your Filipino heritage?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's something I'm really, really looking at the moment. I've been researching some of the archives in the old Melbourne jail. And this is amazing. That's where Ned Kelly, the quintessential Australian, like, was hung, and that's where he was in jail. But in that same jail, like, cell, like a few doors down, was a Filipino.
Oh, wow.
So I didn't know that. So we have a death mask of a Filipino guy who came here. I don't know how, like, and then was put in jail with Ned Kelly. So I want to do a series of all these people who were basically of different ethnicities, especially that Filipino guy, and do their portraits along with Ned Kelly's portraits. It's basically the pre-white Australian ethnics that came here. It's very,
it's
very interesting.
History,
yeah, very, yeah. So that's, but I do need to research more because I...
You can't just draw and draw.
No, yeah, but I'm really interested in our Filipino culture. I'm doing a proposal for a gallery in Manila for 2019. As part of my proposal, I have to research definitely what would be.
Yeah, living in a multicultural Australia, how do you bring out your Filipino roots through your arts and also embrace other culture?
Well, I think in my art, there's a sense of people and family. It's very, like, you know, I've been doing relatives and children. So there's a sense of warmth there that I think is very Filipino. There's a lot of artists out here that just do very abstract, cynical, political, very theoretical sort of artworks. But mine is very about the human person. And if you visit a Filipino's house, like, you'll get inundated with warmth. And, you know, it's about the people. So I think maybe that's one way to look at it.
Yeah, and also most Filipino families love to put their photos.
Yeah, portraits. Yeah. They're really important. Oh, gosh. The amount of people, like, Filipino titas is asking me to do portraits of their relatives.
Like, if everyone asks you to do a portrait of them, then your house is going to be full of portraits.
Oh, my gosh. It's true. It's true.
Last question. What can we look forward to Preston Capistrano? An art gallery of yours?
Oh, we'll see. I don't know. I probably won't open an art gallery, but I'd want to have lots and lots of exhibitions coming up. Win lots of prizes, not for the sake of winning, but for the sake of furthering, getting more and more people to appreciate what I do, I guess. And I guess it's good to be a Filipino out here doing what I'm doing. I'm representing the community.
Yeah.
There's not much Filipino contemporary artists. There are, but, you know, we're still far and few, so let's see how it goes.
No Filipino is doing what you're doing
No Filipino is doing what I'm doing. Actually, I only know one girl in the world right now who's doing large-scale charcoal, and she's based in Zurich.
She's far.
She's very far, so that's good for me. Yeah, and she's not Filipino. She's German or something like that.
Wow. So thank you very much, Kriston.
You're welcome. Thank you for the interview.
Tangkilikin ang higit pang mga kwento sa inyong wika sa pamamagitan ng pagbisita sa sbs.com.au/Filipino.